Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. So glad that you're with me. Open phone lines, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. Also on Instagram, IGJHood is where you can find me on Instagram. With you here until 10 o'clock, we will start our first installment of Summer of Football coming up in 7 minutes here on ESPN 1000. And don't forget, we got our ticket giveaway. We already hooked up someone with a four-pack of tickets. Joe from Palatine is going to the Chicagoland Speedway on Sunday, July 1st. The Stars of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series returns to the Chicagoland Speedway. Get your tickets now through Ticketmaster.com. The Overton's 400. If you want to go, I got another four-pack of tickets to give away in our 8 o'clock hour. Stay by, listen to advice on how you can win tickets. Thanks so much for listening to me, Jonathan Hood, with the Under the Hood show here on ESPN 1000. Okay, our guest for summer football will be Dan Jiggetts. We'll talk to Dan coming up shortly. I want to let you know about this story. Jeff Dickerson and I did this story yesterday. If you're listening, we are on Saturdays and Sundays. We're on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. We're also on Saturday nights from 11 to midnight, where the show's heard here on ESPN 1000 across the country as well. It's our national radio show. I want you to be aware of this story because I'm interested in finding out from you how you would handle this. So there's a story that came out about a young man named Luke Heimlich. You know this name, Luke Heimlich? Luke Heimlich, Oregon State's ace left-hander, who went undrafted this month for the second year in a row, largely due to his past sexual assault conviction, might yet land a pro baseball job. Now, the Kansas City Royals are looking into signing the 22-year-old Washington State native. You say, okay, but what's all with the sexual assault, right? Well, listen to this story. In 2012, when Heimlich was 15 years old, he admitted to sexually assaulting his six-year-old niece. Dayton Moore, the general manager for the Royals, said, "We continue to seek information that allows us to be comfortable in pursuing Luke." Heimlich, in recent interviews with Sports Illustrated and the New York Times, denied committing the sexual assault, saying he pleaded guilty to end the ordeal for the sake of the family. However, the girl's parents have rejected his denial, insisting that the abuse took place. Heimlich is amongst the best college players in the nation. 16-2, 2.80 ERA through 20 games, 19 starts for the Oregon State team that participated in the College World Series. He's a two-time Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year. 154 strikeouts, 26 walks, 125 in the third innings pitched. Would you want him on your favorite team? Tough, right? And maybe not tough for some of you. But here's the person who said that he admitted to sexually assaulting a six-year-old niece. He was 15 at the time. So they both were not adults. And the mother of the niece says, "Well, I don't believe you just said that you did it because you didn't want the drama with the family." Well, keep in mind, either way, there was going to be drama, right? Either way, you're saying that, "Well, I said that, you know, I was guilty because if we take this to a court of law, I probably would serve jail time or whatever it is that would come with this, right? The repercussions of this." But the mother says, "No, we're not forgiving you. This is something that you did." But yet, as talented as Heimlich is, no other team besides the Royals have stood up and said, "You know, I think the way we can utilize him." Now, here's my thought on it. If Heimlich becomes an all-star pitcher, he can be an all-star pitcher someplace else. And I'm one that believes in second chances. I'm not one of these guys, these dyed-in-the-wool guys that says if you committed sexual assault or if you did something wrong, hey, we all make mistakes or we all have had issues in our lives. No one's perfect. Clearly, no one's perfect. The thing is, though, is that I have also the right to pass. And if Heimlich is successful someplace else, I'm fine with that. Hopefully, he can turn his life around. Hopefully, he can help others for what he did. But from my standpoint, no. But I'll ask you, how would you handle it? Even if you're someone that believes in second chances, third chances, fourth chances, there's plenty of those, right? Everyone has it. I think everyone deserves a second chance in life, third chance in life, because everyone's not perfect. We all make mistakes. However, with this situation, if I'm a general manager, I'm okay with someone else taking him, number one. But number two, the reason why that the Royals are even looking at him is because of the big W, because they believe that he can help them win. Now, the Royals are a team that's bad since they won the World Series. They're looking for talent. And they, even with someone who committed sexual assault, accused of sexual assault, they still are interested. He says, again, admitted to sexually assaulting a six-year-old niece. We talked to Petro Soren, that's what it was. Soren Petro, a talk show host from 810 in Kansas City, WHB. He's a talk show host there. He's been there for years. And I talked to him about this situation. JD and I had him on. Is the signing even a consideration if you're a GM? And Soren Petro said,
I think it has to be a consideration. You're in the talent acquisition business. I mean, you've got to turn over every stone, regardless of what sport you're a general manager for. So I think you have to consider it. You have to go through everything top to bottom. And when you reach whatever point that you come across some information that tells you, okay, I can't tolerate this, I can't accept it, I think you at that point then walk away and say, we're not the guy. I think Dayton Moore, listen, I'm not shocked by those comments. I know it sounded like he somewhat contradicted himself, or did contradict himself, I think, in the course of trying to lay things out, where he said, you know, we're finding things out, but you know, I think he deserves a chance, but then he said, I don't know if he deserves a chance. I think the reality is he doesn't know if he deserves a chance. I think he's working through that. I think Dayton Moore does know the player. Oregon State does train at the Royals facility in spring. I know they play a bunch of games whenever I'm down there for spring training. Oregon State's usually playing a number of games before the Royals get going, using the stadium all the time. So there is a familiarity with that program. I know Dayton Moore knows everybody in that program, particularly the coach. And so I would think he's got as good of insight into what the young man has been, at least for Oregon State during those 4 years. But of course, this happened long before he got to Oregon State. So even if he's been a model citizen for Oregon State, you got to go back and find out what happened when he was 15 years old and how he's been since then. Yeah, I remember talking to one general manager, and one of them, they told me, I said, well, listen, when do you know you're going to gamble on a character risk? He said, I like to sit him down, look him in the eye, and I can tell whether or not someone's truly sorry. If they won't even talk about it, they just want to make excuses how it was all somebody else's fault, and they won't accept blame for it, and then they won't show real genuine remorse, I'm not going to go down that road. And I think that's probably the process that Dayton Moore is going through right now. There's no doubt, with the Royals a championship club, there's no reason to think about that, to even go down that road. I don't think you'll see the Red Sox or Yankees or Astros or any team that's knocking on the door. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe that kind of clout makes it easier for you to deal with this. But I think for the most part, if you're a team that's in the rebuild, you consider this, and you do all your homework, and Dayton Moore's always been extremely honest. I think he wants to help the young man. I think he's got a lot of Andy Reid in him. Both of them, I think, are caring people that do care about their players and will do anything they can to try to give somebody a second chance if they deserve that. But I think you can hear the anguish in Dayton Moore's voice that he has not reached the point where he's certain that this young man deserves a second chance, at least at a career in Major League Baseball.
Soren Petro, talk show host in Kansas City, talking to Jeff Dickerson and I on Dickerson and Hood last night. So, I mean, it's a tough one, but I put that on the poll, Eric, at ESPN 1000. Would you consider having Luke Heimlich on your team? Yes or no? Knowing the story that I just laid out, if you hadn't heard it before, how would you handle that? Would you say yes to him because of the numbers or the second chance? How would you handle that? By the way, coming up on our Under the Hood podcast, you know who we're going to have? It's going to drop Tuesday, which means midnight. Right at midnight, Terry Borch. It's going to be on the Under the Hood podcast. You know that name, Terry Bors? Oh, yeah. He has a lot to say about baseball and other issues. Terry Bors on the Under the Hood podcast. Midnight, 12 o'clock, right, Eric? It's going to drop midnight tonight.
And classic Terry Bors. He was terrific. He was a lot of fun. You hear his noises that he makes throughout it. It was fun. He talks, gets really into baseball and a few stories as well.
Man, it's awesome. So we'll get a chance to talk to him. That will drop midnight Tuesday for the Under the Hood podcast. Again, look for the podcast, Apple Podcast, Apple Music, SoundCloud. You can find it wherever you find your podcast. That's where you can find the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood. Some terrific guests, some great content on there as well. The Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood. You know what? I've been waiting for this all winter, all spring, and now here we are on the 25th of June. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Summer of Football.
The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Passer Hopkins, oh my goodness. Did he catch that? Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side throw in the screen 20. Got a block 25. Into space 40.
And he's
Todd Gurley hits the jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley 20. 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown LA.
Early stages, second quarter. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown Bears.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It is the Summer of Football. Football is here, college and pro. We do it every summer here with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We turn to front of the program, getting you ready for the college season, getting ready for the pro season. For NBC Sports Chicago, former Chicago Bear, front of the program, it is Dan Jiggins, and he's with us here on ESPN 1000. Dan, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Before we go any further, man, you got to tell me a little bit more about how Terry Bors is doing. With your podcast, how's he feeling?
He's, you know what? He says his health feels good.
Good. He's a good man.
Yes.
Like Ditka, right?
Right, exactly. My health feels good.
Did he give you a couple of
plenty of that.
Terry's hilarious, man. He's a good guy, man.
Yeah. So he says he's doing well. He's spent so much time in Tampa. Now he's going to stay here for the summer, but he says his health feels really good.
Beautiful. That's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to have you on, Dan, because here we are. The football season's right around the corner. What's it like when you're a player, when you have a new head coach in place? You got a veteran defensive, got veteran players on both sides of the football, but mm-hmm. now Nagy's in the mix. What's that like as a player for someone new to come in?
It's kind of fascinating. I mean, because, you know, again, you know, on the offensive side, at least things are going to change dramatically. Defensively, I think, you know, those guys will pick up right where they left off with Vic, and I think that's one of the great decisions that they made in terms of the coaching staff was to keep Vic and most of his defensive staff together. Because I always thought that, you know, I use the example of at the end of the season when we're talking about what might happen, and I use the example of Buddy Ryan and what happened with Buddy when Mike came in. It was a similar kind of a thing because Buddy was here under Neil. Armstrong, they both worked together up in Minnesota. And obviously, Buddy, who was a very successful defensive coordinator. And I'm not comparing the two, but I'm just saying that, you know, they both had success here. And it would have been a shame to try to start over with another defense and maybe going from a 3-4 back to a 4-3 and then readjusting all your personnel. So I thought that was a good move. But on the offensive side, as I looked at things during the course of the season, I remember I watched a couple of
Kansas City games. Now, you know, I made the comment that I love what they did offensively, but, you know, I always had the feeling that it was more, you know, that's Andy Reid's deal, you know, and he'd had a lot of success, obviously, everywhere he's been with his offensive system. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch how they develop this thing here. And you know, Nagy's kind of on his own now, so we'll get an opportunity to see what he's got up in that skull of his. I'm excited about it, though, because I think this is what they needed to do from a team standpoint, offensively, is move to the next level. Because the stuff that we saw last year, and some of it, a lot of it was, you know, the receiving group and all the rest of that, but it just wasn't very imaginative. You know, let's be honest about it. That's something that really needed to change, and they did it.
I think that I can't wait to see how Trubisky is able to operate, Dan, with some new weapons. It really, I think last year really illustrated for all of us that no matter if you're a young quarterback or a veteran quarterback, if you just don't have a lot out there to work with, if you just don't have that feeling with tight ends and receivers, man, it's just not going to work out. The offense just looks so terrible without quality guys out there and be able to have that kinship with the quarterback.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, when you look at, you know, what you've got in the, you know, in the backfield, you've got some weapons back there. You know, but you know, you look at every other position from the, what they call the specialists, and you know, things were pretty lean. And you know, I thought that what they've done, you know, so far this year in terms of going out and getting some serious help, they did it. So now the question is, how long will it take to put all that together and have it start looking like, you know, something you can really get excited about and functioning like everybody knows what they're doing and looking at different defenses and figuring out how you're going to beat them? That's going to take a while. So don't let everybody just think that it's going to be like right out the gate. You know, it's going to be smooth sailing. It's not going to be. But at least you will see some imagination and the use of the tools that you've got. And that's one of the things that, you know, I think that's what they did extremely well at Kansas City, was using the talents of the people that they had. And I'll be fascinated to see how this all works out, because I think it's going to take a year or so, but you know what? Anything good takes a little time.
Dan Jiggins from NBC Sports Chicago with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and ESPN.
By the way, I'm not just being bear boy. I'm just saying that.
No.
Because just some observations, they got some help.
Oh, sure.
And that's what they needed to do.
Now, I figured that you haven't bought the Kool-Aid yet. I know that it's coming. So, it's too early for the Kool-Aid. You don't want to just sit in the garage.
No, you got to get about at least you know, 6 or 7 wins under your belt before you start drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, absolutely. This is pure analysis. This is you with the CBS jacket on again. You just give the analysis. That's what I see right now. You like the pickup of Allen Robinson? What do you like?
I do. You know, the only thing that, you know, again, there's always a, you know, a caveat. And this one is, you know, you just hope that he's 100%. And that scares you a little bit because, you know, you put some large bank into him, you know. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's another one of those, he and Taylor Gabriel are two of those guys that can be difference makers for you as long as, you know, as he's healthy. And if he's healthy and ready to go, and whatever you get out of White then is going to be, out of Kevin is going to be, you know, gravy. There was no question they needed to upgrade there. With Trey Burton coming in, they got another tight end that, you know, is dependable, can be a down in and down out guy. And you're going to see them using, I think, a lot more, you know, the H-back type tight end. I think you're going to see a lot more of that and a lot more flexibility in that area.
The offensive line, do you have any question marks or things that concern you about the line?
Well, you know, just, you know, you want to see, you know, Long come back healthy. You know, they probably will need to, at some point or another, find one of those young guys, maybe the one that they drafted out of Iowa, that's going to be able to step in that offensive line at guard. Because I think that one of the things that you hate to do is continually, you know, move a guy around and bounce him back and forth. And I would like to see Cody Whitehair maybe just kind of settle in at center. Mm-hmm. That would be the ideal thing, I think, you know, and let him play there because he's really solid at center, and then see where you go from there. But it's just one of those things. The tackles I'm not too worried about. I feel pretty comfortable with those guys. But, you know, the whole idea is just to get a group going and get a couple of guys backing up that you know can, if push comes to shove, can get the job done for you.
I want to ask you about that offensive line, just this offensive line play. If Dan, if in back in the day, if they would have asked you to play four different positions like they've done with Kyle Long, could you have done that?
I had to.
All that, of them?
It wasn't because of skill. It was a question of survival.
Yeah. Understood.
He's got the athletic ability to play a lot of different spots. And that's the thing that sometimes it's tough, no doubt about it. But he's got the athletic skill and ability to do all of that. But he's better inside. And that's where you should just leave him, especially now. You know, he's started collecting some injuries. Just let him, get to his spot and just leave him alone. He's not going to be a left tackle. He's not going to be a right tackle. Keep him inside and let him play there.
On the defensive side, obviously as a Georgia guy, I love Roquan Smith. I'm glad he's part of this team. I cannot wait to see what he does on the field. And that solidifies, I think, what I think had been a solid offense last season.
Yeah, it's going to be a bunch of fun to see that group take the next step. And let's be honest with you, that when the season starts, barring any kind of an injury situation, Roquan Smith is going to be in that lineup. And this is another guy that can play sideline to sideline and do everything for you. And the other thing that you're going to look for is some of these young kids coming in off the edge. It's going to be one of these things where you're going to have to develop somebody. And maybe they've got that guy, maybe they don't, but we're going to find out real early in training camp, and that's what I'm going to be looking for is who are the guys coming off the edge.
It's so rare today, Dan, in which a defensive coordinator is able to stay over with a new regime. Mm-hmm. That's very unbear-like. It's very NFL-like, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it doesn't happen that often, but when you have a guy who, I asked Vic at the end of the season, what's going on? Because, this guy's in his mid to late 50s, and he, hasn't gotten that head coaching opportunity. I asked him, I said, well, it's kind of interesting. Like these days, you get a couple of gray hairs, and everybody wants to get rid of you. and he's always like, yeah, man, that's just the way it is. But, that's why I think that sometimes teams make a mistake. When they have a guy that's working and working well for you, leave him in that spot. Don't make change just for the sake of saying that we change the complete coaching staff. That doesn't make any sense. And I was so glad to see that they didn't do that because I think he is really exceptional, I think, as a coach.
Danny, in the John Fox administration, I think he mentioned it. I know Trestman didn't see any value in it, but you have got to. And the thing I loved about Lovie Smith is that he used it as a talking point, winning games in the division. Mm-hmm. My goodness, it's just been abysmal. I'm wondering what kind of headway over the next couple of years can the Bears make in the division, because that's where it starts.
Yeah, it really does. And sometimes people kind of, because they look at the schedule and they'll say, let's go through the schedule. Hold on. You got to remember that. It's like Lovey always said, Mike always said it, Dick Duron said it when he was here. You've got to win within your division. Because other than that, man, it's a long, long road if you can't control your own division. And let's be honest about it. This one's not easy to win this time around. The NFC North is one of the best divisions in football, I think. Because when you look at what the Vikings can do, what the Packers can do, unfortunately. And I don't think Detroit's going anywhere, man. They've started to solidify what they're doing there. So, it's gonna be a tough road, man. But it's one of those deals where that's what, you call out the best, you find out what you're all about. And they just got to learn from the mistakes that they've made in the past and hopefully don't make them again. Because they've certainly made, their share of mistakes, man. It's been a long run here where it's just been brutal. It's been no fun, when you sit down and try to talk about the games on Monday or whatever. It makes it kind of tough. It makes for some long seasons. I would like to see these guys turn it around and get things going. I was thinking today, this is my 42nd year of being here in Chicago and covering this team. And I'd like to be able to at least see a winner again before I completely fade from the picture.
You'll never.
Selfish standpoint.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I hear what you're saying there. Dan, it's funny. I mentioned your time at CBS because I remember that like it was yesterday, because I remember you doing those CBS sports breaks on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. Are you, I haven't talked to you about this before, and this is something that you used to veer away from when you were doing sports radio on a regular basis. You didn't talk about gambling because that wasn't your bag.
No.
Are you surprised at how prevalent gambling is, like what Brent Musburger is doing with VSiN and all that, that where Jimmy the Greek, you worked alongside with him at CBS,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and how it was kind of forbidden. You didn't want to talk about it, but you know, Jimmy the Greek and guys like that were really into gambling. Are you surprised that it's become so in vogue and so casual now in conversation?
I'm surprised it took so long for it to become mm-hmm. in vogue. You know, I never really wanted to would think or even consider putting my money on something I had no control over. Mm-hmm. And that's why I can't understand why people bet on college games. You take some 18-year-old had a bad night, and he comes out the next day and you got your money on it. I don't think so. But, you know, it's a part of what it's all about now. And it's been that way for some time. So it doesn't surprise me. And then now you have, you know, different states offering up, you know, different opportunities if you want to put some money down on a game. No, you know, look, let's understand one thing. People have been betting on the NFL for a long time. It just hasn't all been legal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But, you know, it's the kind of thing where you just have to understand how to deal with it. From the perspective of if you're running a team, you know, and if you're worried or concerned, because that was always a concern, could somebody control the game by controlling player X or player Y? And that's why you have, you know, if you're paying guys enough money, you don't have to worry about them risking that opportunity to make a couple of bucks. In college sports, it's a little bit different, and that's something that I think a lot of colleges really ought to concern themselves with. You've got kids out there basically, you know, scratching and crawling, trying to make a little bit of a living while they're going to college and playing college sports. And, you know, a lot of money's being bet on those games, and they got to figure out some way to take that that opportunity away, if you will, for somebody to come in and influence the game by buying some players.
How's Lauren doing, Dan?
Oh, she's doing great. She's loving Channel 9. She's loving the morning show, and she's really just doing great. And my grandson Brenny is doing great too. Mm-hmm. Little monster. I told him he's got to play quarterback, and I'm thinking, I'm going to say either Harvard or Stanford, one of the two.
There you go. There you go. I see some pictures. Lawrence put some pictures out online. He is a little monster. He's great.
Yeah, my youngest daughter, Kristen, has got a little guy, too, so and that's Lincoln. So I'm excited about both of them, man. When they come by the house, I just sit back, relax, and enjoy them.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Well, Dan, I'm glad you spent some time. I just want to check in with you. Hope all everything is well. I'm looking forward to this football season.
Well, thanks, Johnson. And, you know, give me a call sometime, man, whenever you need somebody to come on and tell you at least what they think.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I don't know if I know exactly what I'm talking about, but it's all good.
That's the business.
That's it.
Thank you, man. It's Dan Jiggetts from NBC Sports Chicago with us here on ESPN 1000. All right, let's do Sports Center, and then when we come back, we'll have Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We'll have that for you right here on ESPN 1000. Oh, that's right. Now I'm looking at my screen. It says no Sports Center. Looks like there's a Sports Center.
No. No time for it.
Sorry. Got to have it.
ESPN Radio Sports.
I need to know what happened in the NBA.
I'm John Ryder. James Harden is the favorite to win his first NBA MVP at the second annual award show tonight, which is going on right now in Santa Monica. Harden was this season's scoring champ, helped lead Houston to 65 wins. The other two finalists for MVP are LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The 76ers' Ben Simmons has won Rookie of the Year over Utah's Donovan Mitchell. Indiana's Victor Oladipo wins the Most Improved Player Award, and Utah's Rudy Gobert just won the Defensive Player of the Year Award. Spurs guard Danny Green has exercised his $10 million option for next season, reports ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. NFL heard the appeal of Patriots receiver Julian Edelman's four-game PED suspension today. ESPN's Dominique Foxworth on that appeal.
The idea that they don't know what he tested positive for, but he tested positive, I feel like there is some benefit of the doubt that's owed to Edelman, because he pointed out that he has never tested positive for anything before, and I don't know that the NFL deserves the same benefit of the doubt given their issues with discipline in the past.
And there is no timetable for the arbitrator's decision of Edelman's appeal. On the baseball scoreboard, Reyes clobbering the Nationals 10-0 in the seventh. The Tampa Bay starter Blake Snell just had a no-hitter broken up in the seventh. Kevin Kiermaier grand slamming Wilson Ramos with two home runs. The Yankees looking to end a three-game losing streak, have a 2-1 lead on the Phillies in the seventh. Aaron Judge with his 20th home run. Mariners scored two in the seventh, now lead the Orioles 5-3 in the eighth. Marlins a 5-3 lead on the Diamondbacks in the seventh. It's on ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's the Gap. Join us Tuesday. Greg Cody's in as our guest co-host. We'll talk animals with Ron McGill, and we'll talk to Roger Bennett. That's Tuesday in the Dan Le Batard Show with Mr. Gap at ESPN Radio.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Terrific home games, including Notre Dame against Northwestern, which should be tremendous. Wisconsin part of the home schedule as well. Go to NUSports.com. It's NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. So many crazy stories, like this one here.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
All right, Rick Hahn, thank you. An upstate New York man trying to jumpstart his car was greeted by an unusual sound coming from his engine. The rattle of a timber rattlesnake. So the man says that the snake slithered across the engine block and curled up on the battery as he opened the hood. You know, the hood.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
Of the car earlier this month in rural Hancock, New York. On the Pennsylvania border, 115 miles northwest of New York City. So, Lieutenant Nate Verhaag untangled the snake's tail from the engine as Officer Mark Venak carefully pulled it from the vehicle. They released it nearby next to several large boulders, which state wildlife experts described as a much more snake-appropriate habitat. So a rattlesnake under your hood. How about that?
Thank you, snake expert, for telling us out in the nature is better than under a hood. Thank you.
How about that?
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
A rattlesnake under the scenes, behind the scenes, nobody. You know, I mean, unbelievable.
Snakes scare me. Pardon the impression.
Yes, I understand.
I'm terrified. Don't like them. That's one of the few things I don't want to cross.
However, Felix, Eric does like a good Frisbee.
I do. Have you first frisbee golf session of the year was yesterday.
Have you seen this on Instagram?
Yeah, the fiance puts it on.
I'm gonna have to check this out.
Boy, I tell you, boy, you talk about the biceps flexing.
No. For the record, didn't know she was doing that. For the record,
hashtag no filter.
You should see Eric flip a frisbee.
It was sunny out. The guns were out. You're right.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I did not know she was making that boomerang at the moment.
I love that we're friends on Instagram. I get all the dirt now.
And you get it from her. She's the one who posts all the stuff. So great. If she's anything, yep.
She's the best.
She is. I agree.
She is the best. I'm flipping through. Oh, Ostrowski's guns are out.
It was warm out. Her and I went for a little bike ride and went frisbee golfing.
Yeah, how's your butt?
Not bad. Hers is more sore than mine.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
You pardon the expression. Eric Ostrowski, the butt thumper.
You know, okay, so Edwin Jackson got the call-up today.
Yes.
That means he's setting an MLB record and playing and starting pitching for his 13th team. Is that something to brag about or something to be embarrassed about? 13th team.
What?
Yeah. It's a lot of baseball.
Edwin Jackson?
That Edwin Jackson, yes, that one.
A guy who continues to get more and more chances.
Wow.
I don't understand it.
Okay. 13 times?
Breaks the record. Octavio Dotel previously held the record.
White Sox great. Octavio Dotel.
I love it.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Felix Reyes.
Bank robbery suspect gives ID, easily tracked by police. Police say a quick-thinking bank teller in Ohio convinced a suspected robber to hand over his own license. Authorities says the man walked into a Huntington Bank in Columbus on June 4th and gave the teller a note saying he was armed and demanding money. The teller gave the man a stack of cash, but then he demanded more money from the electronic cash recycle machine in the bank lobby. Police says the teller told the man the machine needed a driver's license to dispense cash, so the man handed his own license over. The license led police to the 51-year-old man, who was arrested June 15th and charged with aggravated robbery and threatening with a deadly weapon.
What's the moral to the story?
How stupid can you be?
Seriously. You don't even have a fake ID, bro? Come on.
Jesus. You don't watch enough movies. Like, come on. Even movies give you the blueprint.
I can't believe the teller would think that would work. Hold on. Let me just check your ID real quick.
Good God, man. That's good.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
So many good stories. Let me just zip through these real quick. Rat breaches bank ATM in India, eats $18,000 worth of cash.
Oh.
When bank technicians in India were finally summoned to investigate why an ATM had not been working for days, it began to smell a rat. Yes.
Okay.
When what they found inside the ATM was almost $18,000 worth of shredded Indian notes. And one dead rodent that had somehow eluded the machine security camera for its next and last meal. This little guy ate so much cash, he died.
It's not a bad last meal. Like, on death row, just give me stacks of cash and I'm going to eat all of it. So you can't have it, government.
What?
I don't know. It killed him.
That is not my last meal if I'm on death row.
Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. Would your last meal be eating $18,000 worth of cash? Would you consider that being your last meal, $18,000 worth of cash?
Only Eric.
It's not your money, so hey.
But Eric is like, oh, it's Indian currency. It's okay.
What are those, rubles or rubes? Rubles?
They are rupee notes.
Rupee notes? Ruples. Ruples is how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Yes.
R-U-P-E-E notes. Yes. That's it, yeah. $18,000 worth. Real quick, the wife credited with returning husband to jail following era.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Court records say a Colorado inmate mistakenly released from jail enjoyed less than 2 hours of freedom before his wife realized the error and made him turn himself in. So the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that James Reinerson was in custody last month in the Mesa County Jail on a $2,000 cash bond while awaiting prosecution on menacing, disorderly conduct, and trespass charges. Reinerson, who's 38, was released after Mesa County Sheriff's deputies at the jail mistook him for another inmate, Marvin March. They failed to check Reinerson's wristband and picture, and there you go. So the wife credited with returning husband to jail following the era.
She obviously had other business going on the side while he was in jail. But if they accident release you and you're just gone, like you go to Canada, what can they do about that?
Right.
Because it's not like you snuck out or broke out. It's their mess up. I would have been gone.
Yes, you couldn't have found me again.
Uh-uh.
No, I'd have a wonderful life in France or Italy someplace.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not going back to the woman who would turn me back in.
Well, right.
No thanks.
It's true.
It must be good.
It must be.
It must be good. Damn tasty. 82 Chihuahuas found at Birmingham House. The last one. RSPCA were called to the property in Birmingham after police raised concerns about conditions. The dogs were found April 2017, but the discovery is to be shown on an episode of Dog Rescuers. Yeah, Dog Rescuers.
Have I seen that Paw show? Patrol?
I think it's similar to it. It's similar to it. I know some sports shows that don't even rate as high as Paw Patrol.
Yes, we do. Someone tells us about it all the time.
It's really amazing. 82 dogs. I've seen shows like this, right?
One chihuahua is too many. 82 chihuahuas is hell.
It's got to be annoying.
It's like a
like hoarding.
Hoarders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a
hoarder
show.
Absolutely.
Too many dogs. That's crazy. 82 chihuahuas?
Imagine they're barking, too. That's
not the barking, the smell.
Oh, yeah.
The size.
Little yippers.
And that, my friends, is Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Caller number three, regular line 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you want to go, got a pair, see, a four-pack of tickets for the Overton 400 at the Chicagoland Speedway on Sunday, July 1st. The stars of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series return to Chicagoland Speedway. Caller, did I say four?
You said three.
Caller three, regular line, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. We want you to be hooked up with this. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to this program.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Oh, my allergies. All right, coming up at our 9 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers with a preview of the Cubs and the Dodgers. Also, we'll hear from Nick Friedell as the rookies from the Chicago Bulls spoke today. We'll break down those press conferences. I'll tell you what I see from the Bulls for the future coming up on Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.